So you have your Bibles, make your way to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, as we continue our series, this I Am series, as we look at each of the different metaphors that Jesus uses to describe both his deity and the path by which we find our hope through the God-man, through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the I Am that was mentioned in Exodus chapter 3, Yahweh in the flesh. We've gone through three, or this will be the third, the bread of life, the light of the world, and the door. So if you have your Bibles again, John chapter 10, let me read the first 10 verses of this section. Really, the whole section emphasizes the good shepherd. The first section, verses 1 through 10, talk about how Jesus is a good shepherd by being the door. And I'll explain that today, but the next week we're going to really emphasize the great shepherd, the good shepherd passage that he brings up in chapter 10, verse 11. But the shepherd theme is throughout John chapter 10. John chapter 10, starting in verse 1, Jesus said this, "Truly, truly, listen up, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Now, this figure of speech Jesus used with them, and they didn't understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Listen up, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And he will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Parents, is your home a safe place? And I'm not talking about security camera and gun safe. I mean a place where your kids know that mom and dad, or maybe just mom, or maybe just dad, or maybe grandparents, whoever is raising these kids, that they are safe. Safe to ask questions. Safe to make mistakes. Safe to learn. Safe that they're going to hear the truth. Safe that they'll be disciplined. As parents, we are to provide more than just a house. We are to provide a home. In our I Am statement this week, Jesus, the Son of God, wants you to be at home. He wants you to know he provides the greatest of homes. Scripture often compares people, us, those that know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, as sheep. The idea behind the phrase sheep, when he calls believers sheep, the idea is that we are like children. Children, like sheep, are dependent. Dependent on their shepherd. Dependent on their parent, if you're a child. To love and to care for your children, like a shepherd does his sheep. Those of us who have trusted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we are considered children of God. Dependent children. In the Gospel of John, it actually says in verse 1, verse 12, he says, "But to all who receive him," Jesus, "who believe, trust, rely on his work, his name, Jesus gives the right for them to be called children of God." These dependent children, these believers, are also, like children, disciplined by a good and loving parent, God. Hebrews chapter 12 tells us this: "It is for discipline that you have to endure." God is treating you like children, his children. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and are not sons. The idea here is, if you're not being disciplined by your parent, you're probably not their kid. I'm not going to spank your kids, even though there's some I want to spank. I'm just kidding. And you probably want to spank mine. That's all right. Being called a sheep in Scripture, being called a child of God, is not a bad thing. In our passage this morning, Jesus is showing us how God, the good shepherd, Jesus Christ, is the loving parent, and Jesus is providing a home that we all need. The only home that we need. Listen, this world is trying to get us away from this home. Make you feel that maybe you're not welcome in this home. That this home isn't a safe place for the truth, for discipline. And Jesus would call these people liars, robbers, and thieves. Anyone or anything that gets between God and his children is a liar. God wants us to come home to paradise. But you gotta go through the door. The context here is the leaders of Israel from John chapter 9 really leads to this passage in John chapter 10, where Jesus had just healed a blind man. And all of the religious leaders are ticked, when they should have been caring for this man, they cast him out of the temple because of what Jesus did. This is the context that leads Jesus to say, don't follow those people. They are liars, they are thieves, and they are robbers. Now, in context, he is specifically talking about those religious leaders. But make no mistake, there are thieves and robbers even today that are trying to keep you from home, the safe place that Jesus offers. So what makes Jesus the door? What makes Jesus a safe home for all of us? And that's the theme that I want to uncover in our passage this morning. So number one, Jesus is called the door. In other words, Jesus wants us to come home through him because he protects his children. What makes Jesus a safe home? He protects all that are in his home. Look at verses 1 and 7 with me. Jesus says, listen up, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in another way, that man's a thief and a robber. In verse 7, Jesus said again, I am the door. Now, listen, if you were, well, I should say this, we all have a home here, right? Does it have a door? What's the purpose of the door? To keep those inside safe. The door protects. Jesus protects his children because he is the door. Now, I have to take you back to the time of Israel, or time of what's taking place in this passage. A sheepfold, if you're not a shepherd here this morning, you're not probably familiar with some of these analogies that Jesus is using, but it would have been very familiar to the people that Jesus is talking about. A sheepfold that he mentions here in verse 1, this sheepfold was kind of like a sheep pen. It would keep, there's a picture of it. It would keep their flocks in when they would be out in the middle of the fields throughout Jerusalem and throughout all of the hill country of Israel. And they would stack these rocks all in a big circle, and they would lead the sheep into this pen at night. The shepherd would drive all of his people at night into these sheepfold. And like this very sheepfold that we have here, there is no door. And so what Jesus is saying, and what the sheep did, or what the shepherds would do during those night sleeps, is they would be the door. Just like the picture there. So when Jesus is saying he is the door, he is saying, I am the one who protects the sheep when they're in their home. When they put their faith and trust in me, they are safe. Because no one's getting through the door. And that was the purpose of the shepherd. To keep wild animals, to keep other things from coming in there and getting his children. Since there was no gate, just an opening, the shepherd had to be in front of that door. He would sleep there. He would literally become the door. Jesus is telling us that he is not only the shepherd of the sheep, but he's also the door for the sheep. He protects them. He makes the home safe. Why is he saying this? Well, Jesus, again, is contrasting himself with the religious leaders from John chapter 9 and throughout all of John. But Jesus is contrasting himself with these thieves and robbers that we find in verses 1 and 8. What are the thieves and robbers trying to do? Well, verse 10, if you were to skip all the way up to verse 10, the purpose of a thief and a robber is to kill you, to destroy you. Now, we're going to learn in this passage that the sheep would not go with thieves and robbers. But that wasn't the purpose of a thief and a robber. The thief and the robber knew that the sheep in the sheep pen would only follow the shepherd. But what the thieves and robbers tried to do was they would go over the rocks or even in the sheep pens in the cities, and their sole purpose was just to kill the sheep, to drag the sheep out and skin it alive for its wool. They came to destroy. When Jesus says, I'm the door, he is reiterating the fact that it is only through him salvation comes and you are safe. He protects you from thieves and robbers who are trying to kill you. Listen, we do not battle with flesh and blood. These religious leaders are being led by the prince of darkness. And the prince of darkness, Satan's aim is to destroy you, to not get you to even go in that door, to not be safe. These thieves and these robbers, their sole purpose is to destroy you and to get you to not go in to the sheepfold. Just look at John chapter 9. We get a little picture of Jesus having a conversation with these thieves and robbers. But first, the man who was received his sight was in front of these religious leaders, and the man was answering their questions. So the man answered this. He says, why is this such an amazing thing? In other words, why is it an amazing thing that I've received my sight? You do not know where he comes from, Jesus, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man, Jesus, were not from God, he could do nothing. Now, the religious leaders had an answer. And they answered him, you were born in utter sin. In other words, they had an idea that if he was born blind, it must be because he's such a filthy sinner. When Jesus himself said in John chapter 9, the reason he was born blind was it to give him glory. They were blind. You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us? Look at the pride. And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. See, again, this is what goes into John chapter 10. He's like, these people, actually I'll talk about it next week, but in Ezekiel 34, Ezekiel prophesies about these very people. They were supposed to be the shepherds of Israel, and yet they were misleading them. They were thieves and robbers, and they were destroying people. They were casting the very people they should be taking care of. And Jesus heard they cast him out. Having found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, and who is he, sir, that I might believe in him? Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Jesus said, for judgment I came into this world, that those who did not see may see. See a dependency there? There's a dependency to everyone who needs to be able to see. But those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said, are we also blind? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, in other words, if you were truly dependent, like the blind man, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, we see, we got it all figured out, we don't need to go through the door, we know what we're doing, your guilt remains. These leaders never needed Jesus. They don't need to come home. Earth is their home. And soon hell will be. Jesus' words protect us from false teachers. Jesus came to save sinners. He protects us from false teachers. Jesus says, come home. Which leads me to the next point. Not only does Jesus, why Jesus is the perfect door, why he is the perfect home, the great shepherd, because he knows his children. He knows and leads his children, and they know and follow him. Look at verses 2 through 8 with me. But he who enters the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Now, if you, verse 8, yes, all who, go back, sorry, verse 8, and who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not listen to them. Now, if you were taking your sheep into the city, now the first sheepfold that I talked about was a sheepfold that was typically out in the country. They would have those rocks, and he would be the door. Okay, there were also sheepfolds in the city. And in the city, they would have tons of different sheep owned by several different shepherds, and they would all be in this one big sheep pen. Okay? The objective or the duty of the gatekeeper or the doorkeeper was to let the shepherd in so that he could get only his sheep. So there's some confusion here on who's the doorkeeper. Is that Jesus? Some people say, well, that's the Father. The Father is saying that the Son can go into the sheep pen and get his sheep because his sheep know his name, and the other sheep that are in that sheep pen won't follow Jesus because they know his voice. See, if you were a shepherd, the funny, crazy thing is that the shepherd would name his sheep. Now, that makes some sense to us, doesn't it? Do any of you have a dog or a cat? Just give me a show of hands. Okay. So we can relate to this. This is how. Do you just call your dog, dog, and cat, cat? Hey, dog, come here. Cat, come here. No, it's Rontu, come here. That's our dog. Purdy, the cat won't listen, so forget it. But the cat has a name. The idea here is that the shepherd, because he cared for his children, his sheep, would name his sheep. And so, hey, Frank, sheep, let's go. And the sheep would follow the shepherd's voice. The cool thing is that you could be in the city, and because the shepherd is yelling out commands, the sheep could be going through a whole big city, and the sheep would stay right next to the shepherd. Because it felt safe, and he knew he would care for them. Just like your dog, and well, probably not your cat, but your dog does listen. If someone else tries to climb into the sheepfold into the city and yells out, hey, Joe, the sheep, follow me, the sheep will not follow him. Those are thieves and robbers, once again. Verse 5 says, if a stranger, go to those verses. Verse 5 says, if a stranger attempts to take the sheep out, they will not follow him because they don't recognize his voice. In fact, in this time of shepherds, the opposite was true. If someone called out to sheep that wasn't theirs, the sheep would actually run away from them because they knew it was dangerous. What's the application? We'll get to that, but I just want you to understand this. Jesus doesn't want you or I to listen to anyone else regarding the truth of salvation. He's the door. If you have come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have believed his words. Now follow his words. We listen to God's word. If you are genuinely saved this morning, that means rescued by the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, his death for your sin and my sin, and his resurrection, then you have trusted Jesus Christ alone. He's the door. He's not a door. He's the door. The only door. And that's how you entered and you listened to his voice. You know why Jesus is the door? You know why he's such a great shepherd? You know why this is such a safe home to be in? Because he knows us too. Like a shepherd names his kids, Jesus knows your name too. Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon Peter, follow me." Jesus said to Matthew, "Matthew, follow me." Jesus said to Mary Magdalene, "You are forgiven." He knows you. And he knows you by name. When you and I, that are known by Jesus, listen to his words, we are safe. If someone says to you, "Don't listen to Jesus," they are a thief and a robber. Not trying to take your salvation. They can't do that. But they can steal your joy. They can steal your joy of walking with the Good Shepherd. Jesus is the door. Jesus is the safe place to be. He protects. He knows us. He leads us. And lastly, the third one, he provides for his children. What makes Jesus the great door, the great shepherd, a safe home? If the door is salvation, and Jesus is the door, and you walk through the door because you know he knows you and you know him, then and only then are we really free. Only then are we really at home. So the question is, who can separate us from that home? Who can take us out of that home? Well, the answer is no one. Paul would write in Romans chapter 8, he'd say, who can separate us from the love of Christ? Who can separate us from this great shepherd who's opened the door to his home to us? No one. Shall tribulation? No. Distress? No. Persecution? No. Famine, nakedness, danger, sword? No one. For as it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. That sounds safe. Yeah, somebody can harm our body, but we have been forgiven and our soul will be in eternity forever. For I am sure that neither death nor life, angels or rulers, things present or things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. He is the great provider. And he provides eternal life. Children of God, sheep can come and go. That's what it says. Look at verses 9 and 10 real quick with me. Jesus says, I'm the door. If anyone enters by me, they put their faith and trust in me. They have eternal life in me. They are part of my sheepfold. They will be saved. And they'll be able to go in and out and find pasture. What else? Verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. The Greek word for abundant here, it has a mathematical meaning. It actually means to have a surplus. So what is this abundant life that Jesus provides? The great shepherd, the great door. What he provides is eternal life. Abundant life doesn't mean that you're going to have a long life. That's not guaranteed. Abundant life does not mean you get a comfortable life. That's not guaranteed. Abundant life is a life of satisfaction and contentment in Jesus. In your eternal life found in your salvation in Christ. The door, this Jesus, he provides a home. For all who have trusted him, we can go about this world and we can come and we can go, but we are always at home with Jesus. What a safe place a believer can find and be fed. So a few applications before we get to communion. I got three. Number one, don't leave the door unlocked. Now each of us have a home. Do any of you lock the door? Why do you lock the door? So the idea here is this. No one's stealing your salvation. If you are in Christ, you can't lose your salvation. You're safe. But the idea here is this. Don't let anybody, if you let the door unlock, what you're allowing is people to mislead you. This is where false teachers have their in. They can't steal your salvation, but they can steal your joy. They can put additions onto the gospel. This is what legalism is. Legalism isn't going to steal somebody's salvation, but what it does to someone who is saved is it puts shackles on them so that there's no joy in their salvation. And so the idea here is this, if you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can't earn grace from God. You can't earn favor from God. You are his child. You are safe. And if you allow someone else to teach you something differently, it's like leaving the door unlocked. Listen to what Jesus says in this same chapter, chapter 10. He says, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hands. I and the Father are one. Jesus has the door protected. The second one I see is this. Listen to Jesus. If we have trusted him for our salvation, we have gone through the door of salvation, then why would we stop listening to him? Why would we stop following him? Do we have something else to do? Somewhere else to be? Jesus provides the home. And that is where we are fed and safe. Keep listening to Jesus. Keep following Jesus. He's the good shepherd. Then finally, as we look at this analogy of him being our great home, continue to eat with the Lord. Have dinner with him. You know, there's a great passage in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. It says this: "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him, and he with me." Now, in the context of Revelation chapter 3, a lot of people use this as an evangelistic verse. It's not. It's actually a verse to the Laodicean church. And what he's saying here is listen, to the believer in Christ, the reason you are not, you're lukewarm, is because you don't invite me in. I've saved you, but you don't have fellowship with me regularly. And he's asking you to have dinner with him regularly. That's what it means to have the abundant life. Listen, we can have eternal life, and we do if we are found in Christ, in Jesus Christ. We have eternal life. What Jesus aims to have while we're living on this earth is a continual fellowship with the one we'll spend eternity with. So fellowship with him. Eat with him. Dine with him. Pray to him. Confess your sins to him. Be with your Lord and your Savior. We don't just check him in on Sunday. Jesus desires to be with us every day. And by the way, he is. The idea here is he's knocking. The question is on Monday morning, will you let him in? Will you fellowship with your Lord and Savior? Will you have that relationship with him? Will you invite him on the car ride to work? Will you invite him to your work? Wherever you go, is Jesus invited? That's the idea here. If he is the door and he provides all the things that we say he provides in our salvation, then why would we want to go anywhere else but home? As we go to the Lord's table, it's a great reminder of the great shepherd that we know. It's a great reminder of the door of our salvation. The bread depicts or is a symbol of his body, his perfect, sinless body. The perfect, sinless Lamb of God who would be slain for sinners, who would take the penalty that we deserve, who would be the sacrifice for our sins. We hold that bread and we thank Jesus that his body was given for us, that he took the wrath of God on himself for us. It gives us an opportunity to remind ourselves how ugly sin is in our life, to confess our sins, to have this relationship with the Lord where I'm willfully confessing and repenting sins because I want Jesus in my life, not just for my salvation. You hold that bread and you confess your sins, and he is faithful to forgive. And when we hold that juice, which represents his blood, for by his blood we are saved. Jesus' perfect life doesn't save us. His perfect life, along with his sacrificial death and resurrection, is what gives us victory, because it's his victory. We hold that juice and we are reminded he had to die. His blood is what gives us life. Where blood gives life, his blood gives us life. Specifically, a new life. And if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you have been born again. You have a new life. So we celebrate, we rejoice, and it's weird. We're celebrating in his death, but we are celebrating in his death and resurrection, because that's where our hope is found. Communion is a great reminder that Jesus bridged the gap. between us and God, and we are forever grateful. But I am again reminded, this passage makes it very clear. It really is a salvation passage. Though I think there's application for those of us who know Christ, make no mistake, you cannot enter the sheepfold any other way than through the door. And Jesus is the door. It's not Jesus plus you being a good person or being raised in a Christian home, or Jesus, I'm just young. I still got my life to live. I don't have to follow you yet. I'll wait till I'm old like my parents. You get no excuses. Jesus says, I'm the door. And some of you here make excuse after excuse, and even coming to church, you're making an excuse. As if God's going to reward you because you came to church. That's called a work. It's not Jesus plus your work. It's Jesus, a work alone. And I'm imploring you. Have the thieves and robbers taught you something different than what's in the gospel? Maybe it was your parents that raised you in a home where it was all about religion and all about your good deeds and your baptism as a baby or your confirmation. And you're relying on those things to get to heaven. And the thieves and robbers, just like the religious leaders, have misled you because they aim to destroy you. The only thing that's stopping you from going into the door is your own pride. Why wouldn't you enter through the door? So that call is to you. Go through the door and receive and be a part of a homecoming like never before. And you will feel safe. Let's pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, I thank you. For once again, Lord, we learn of your greatness, of your goodness. And Jesus, you are the door. And we have come to know you because you know us by name. And you have called us unto salvation. And we have repented and believed. And Lord, we experience that abundant life as we continue to trust you and walk with you. And God, as we go to the communion table, may we be reminded once again of that great relationship that we have with the great shepherd. To confess our sins and walk with you. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity that today provides as a great reminder. For it's in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen.